At 213 Second Street, we lived over the printing office Grandad owned, the Zimmer Printing Company. Since 1898, his swinging sign read, it was located only a block and a half from the Green River, west of the streetcar tracks on Main. In between river and streetcars were the Pennsylvania Railroad right-of-way and tracks, which followed the river down to Pittsburgh. Our second-floor bay window hung over the town's main intersection, where trolleys from Charleroi and Donora pass constantly, clanging and hissing, all lit up in the dark night. An incredible vision, these things, orange metal animals, with people in their stomachs, throwing illuminated reflections in colour onto the ceiling of our living room by an optical process I often thought to have explained to me, but never did. Bright sparks flew from their wheels and fell from the air around the overhead power lines, burning sharp holes in dark places. From our perch we could also see the long freight trains roaring along the river, sending an orchestra of clanks and whistle shrieks into the sky. We could watch great paddle-wheel steamers plying the river in both directions, filling the air with columns of white steam. From early till late, Grandmother Mossy sat rocking. She sat at the window facing the river, quietly observing this mechanical show of riverboat, train, and steam car, four tiers of movement, if you count the steam of auto traffic, five if you include the pedestrians, our neighbours, flowing north and south on Main, far into the night hours. She seldom ventured to the street from our apartment, after her great disgrace of 15 years earlier, when lack of money forced her to move abruptly one day from a large home with marble fireplaces. She never spoke to my grandfather, not a word, after that, though they ate two meals a day at the same small table. The telephone supplied sufficient new data about neighbours, enough so she could chart the transit of the civilization she had once known face to face. Sitting with Moss in the darkness was always magic. Keeping track of the mechanisms out there, each with its own personality, rolling and gliding, this way or that, on mysterious errands, watching Grandmother smoke Chesterfield after Chesterfield, with which she would write glowing words in the air for me to read, beginning with my name, Jackie. Seen that way, words became exciting. I couldn't get enough of them. Imagine the two of us sitting there year after year, never holding a recognizable conversation, yet never tiring of each other's company. Sometimes Moss would ask me to find numbers in the inspired graphics of an eccentric comic strip, Toonerville Trolley, so she could gamble 2 cents with the barber across the street who ran numbers in the intervals between clipping his customer's hair. Although we really didn't hold conversation in any customary fashion, Moss would comment out loud on a wide range of matters, often making allusions beyond my ken. Was she speaking to herself? I would react or not. Sometimes I asked a question. After a smoke-filled interval, she might answer. Sometimes she would teach me nonsense riddles like, a titimus, a tatimus, it took 2 T's to tie 2 T's to 2 small trees, how many T's are there in that? Or tongue-twisters like, rubber baby buggy bumpers, or she sells seashells by the seashore, which I was supposed to say 10 times in a row as fast as I could. Sometimes these were verses that would sound ugly to modern ears, as in, God made a nigger, he made him in the night, God made a nigger but forgot to make him white. Yet I have good reason to believe Moss never actually met or spoke with a black person in her entire life, or harboured any ill will toward one. It was just a word game, its only significance wordplay. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. On the subject of race, we all learned to sing about black people, officially, in 3rd grade. Dark Town Strutter's Ball, Old Black Joe, and others. No distinction of race preceded or followed, they were just songs. Before you conclude my memories are daft and that Mon City must be a bigoted place, you need to know its tiny population contained the broadest diversity of ethnic groups living together in harmony. 90 years earlier, it had been a regular stop on the Underground Railroad. The barn of the Anawalt House was used for that purpose all through the 1850s. If Vico's notion in The New Science is correct, we encounter the world in ways first implicit in ourselves. There can be no filling of black slates in education, no pouring of wisdom into empty children. If Vico is correct, the Monongahela I bring dripping to you from the bottom of my river memory is a private city, revealing the interior of my own mind, whether you believe that the fall is real or only a metaphor for the feeling we get when by losing our way home we find ourselves cut off from the creative source. Who I am and why I taught the way I did is long ago and far away in that town, those people, that green river, not in any course of scientific pedagogy.